Bethany. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter now as we continue through this great book. And we'll begin in the eighth verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And God blesses the reading of His Word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that You would take Your Word, that You would challenge our hearts. Father, that You would make a move in each individual life that is here. And Father, that we would draw close to You. Father, that You would lift us up from what we are struggling with and give us a victory, Father, in Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard of people being penny wise and pound foolish? Don't stress out too much about what a penny has to do with how much you weigh. This is a British idiom where a pound is a sum of money worth 100 pence or 100 pennies. So to be penny wise and pound foolish means you stress out over small amounts or over small things, but are careless when it comes to large expenses or large things. An example would be like taking out a store credit card to save an extra 10% on a purchase and then having to pay 30% in interest for that same purchase. Or buying a car because the dealer is offering you a $200 TV when you pay down your $18,000 for the vehicle. Or driving an extra 20 minutes to buy gas at 2 cents less a gallon. Or refusing to pay $200 for a tax accountant, completing the forms yourselves and having to pay the IRS several thousand dollars in back taxes and penalties and fees. Saving money on skipping those pesky oil changes, only to burn up a motor. Or saving money on trips to the doctor to find yourself in the hospital. Spending money you don't have on items you don't need and telling yourselves it's okay because you got it at a good price. Failing to honor God, being faithful with the tithe, and losing the value of what life is all about. Now, it may surprise you, this message is really not about money at all. But while I'm here, let me just state, you need to be both pound wise and penny wise, and the wisest financial decision you can make is to be faithful to God in the tithe. And so I challenge you to that. The principle behind being penny-wise and pound-wise applies to time management. Most people at some time or another stress out over time. Have you ever noticed it never seems that you have enough? Some put their focus on the past, and they live lost in a past success, and they keep going back to a past victory. Or they're weighed down by a past tragedy or a past failure. Some ruin their lives focusing on what somebody did to them or an error they caused by their own false judgment. And while looking back, friend, you are absolutely bound to run into something. Take positive lessons from the past. If you can look back and you can learn from it and you can be better for it, then do that. If there is something in the past that can be changed and needs to be changed, then what do you need to do? Hello. Change it. Stop whining about it, pouting about it, fussing about it. Just get it done and move on. If there was a wrong that you can right, what do? You right it. Do not waste time worrying about what should have happened or what should have been done or what should have been said or what somebody else did or did not do. If you have been wrong, ask for forgiveness of God, and if necessary, ask for forgiveness of others. And realize there is no way to should have anything on planet Earth. Paul had much in the past that he could look to. He says in other passages of Scripture that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was one of the top. He was one of the ones that other people would look up to. But he counted all those things lost for the privilege of following Jesus Christ. He also had regrets. Now you may think of Paul and what a great man he was, and you might wonder what was his regrets. Well, one point, he says, I am the chief of sinners. Now, I don't think Paul was the chief of sinners, but he thought he was. He thought that the sin in his life outweighed many things. Paul lived his life and chose not to let the difficulties or the mistakes of life or what should or should not have occurred to weigh him down. He didn't allow his failures or his successes to direct his life. Paul lived his life with a firm focus on eternal things. Can I challenge you to do that? Start looking past today, and certainly look past yesterday. Most people try to be present wise, but they're present wise at the danger of being eternal foolish. Living with an eternal view can give you wisdom and victory for the present. Starting to look to that far, far away. Starting to look to what God has accomplished and what will be. You can live a life filled with joy today and understand that there is more joy ahead if you just begin to focus more on Jesus and what Jesus has accomplished than looking at what you haven't done or what you've messed up in doing. We need to focus in on the exchanged gift. Verse 10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you're a believer, then you deal with the past, present, and future with an overwhelming knowledge that Jesus Christ went to a cross to die for you. You focus in on the reality of what He has given. He died that you might be forgiven. He died so that you might have life everlasting. This is an exchange life. Think of it. We give Him our life in our sin. He gives us His life in His righteousness. We give Him our life that should be in hell, he gives us his life and the ticket to glory in heaven. The exchange gift should change our outlook. It should give us an uplook. Paul saw suffering and he endured it as a way to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ. If he was persecuted, then he thanked God because he was persecuted in trying to follow Jesus. He put things in perspective. Paul had a victory in life because he lived with a view of Calvary. How in the world can we have a bad day when Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life for us? If we will just run everything through that vision of him on the cross, it will change our outlook. It will change how we deal with difficulties. It will change what we do with sufferings. Everything Paul suffered, he just tied it to the cross. And he understood that Jesus suffered more. And he understood Jesus suffered more for him. When we stand with Jesus through troubles, difficulties, and persecutions of life, it exalts Jesus. It lifts him up. It magnifies him. No matter what your struggle, stand in faith. Don't let the struggle weigh you down. Remember what the Lord has done for you. And understand that there will be hardships in life. Listen, may surprise you, but you're not the only person that has problems. Now, I know nobody else's problems are as serious as yours, but other people are going through difficulties. Many of our people that are going through great difficulties will turn and tell you, well, other people have it harder than I do. You know what? Just being honest here. Other people having it harder than I do doesn't really help me a whole lot. But knowing that Jesus was willing to lay it all down for me, that does help me. Knowing that Jesus is willing to help them and me get through whatever life throws at me, that does help me. Understand there will be difficulties, there will be hardships, there will be struggles, but we have a God who can give us victory through it all. Often when things don't go our way, we throw up our hands and we get frustrated. Sometimes we take out that frustration on whoever happens to be in the room. The scripture says Paul was troubled or pressed on every side, but looking to the Lord, he was not distressed. He was stressed, but not distressed. The word for troubled means pressure. Actually, it's a particular word. It means pressure caused by others. Do other people cause you pressure? Have you ever felt like you were in a vice and somebody was just turning the crank? Paul says we can be in the vice of pressure, yet by God standing with us, we cannot be pressed into the box. We can't be distressed so that we lose our purpose, and we can always look to the Lord and find victory. Perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means not knowing which way to turn. Ever find a day that you don't know which way to turn? In fact, there are some times that you look around and any decision you make is not going to have the most wonderful outlook. Sometimes if you turn to the left, it's going to be bad. If you turn to the right, it's going to be bad. If you go backwards, it's worse. If you go forward, it's going to be difficult. Paul had days when there was seemingly no way to turn, but he didn't despair. When you don't know which way to go, don't lose hope. Focus on the Lord God. Put him first. Take your steps and understand he is going to be right there with you. God is greater than your situation. He is greater than your difficulty. He is greater than your circumstances. He can and will guide you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Some days it's going to be like you're stepping out into the darkness and you don't know what's going to happen. Just trust God. Put your trust in the Lord to take you through that next step, to get you through, to lift you up, to give you what you need. Paul said he endured persecution, but he was not forsaken. Paul endured a lot of persecution. At Lystra, he was stoned and thought to be dead, left out the city to die. He cast out a demon of a poor little girl and set her life right. And for that, he had the skin stripped off his back and he was thrown into the inner prison. Paul endured, but he was never forsaken. He knew that God was always right there with him. No matter how hard the days, stand with Jesus and understand Jesus is there to stand with you. You are not discounted. You are not forsaken. You are not left alone at any time, believer. Matthew 28 says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus is right there all the time. Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Will there be dark days? Yes. Will there be hard times? Yes. Will there be struggles? Yes. Will there be pains? Yes. I know this is different from the Name It, Claim It guys, but this is true. These things will come, but Jesus will be right there with his children all the time. Then Paul says, cast down, but not destroyed. Get that. Cast down, not destroyed. Ever been cast down? Paul was cast down a lot. He was cast down in prison in Jerusalem. He was cast down in prison in Philippi. He was cast down in prison in Caesarea. He was cast down in prison in Rome. Everywhere Paul went, it seemed that he was cast down, 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 and yet he was never destroyed. Why was he not destroyed? Because, my friend, as a believer, when you are walking with Jesus Christ, you are indestructible until it is time for you to go home. Paul had learned to be knocked down over and over and over again, and when you get knocked down, my friend, what you do is you get up, but you don't just get up, you get up in Jesus. You understand that the process of you being knocked down and getting up is a testimony for God. It's a testimony for what God can do in you, and it's a testimony for what God can do through you. He knew what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary to save his soul for all eternity, and he knew nobody could take that away, so he was not destroyed. In fact, when they took Paul and they chopped off his head, they didn't end Paul. They just moved him to the Lord. The scripture challenges us to stand with Jesus. Jesus, who went to the cross to deliver you from sin, death, and hell, can certainly deliver you from whatever you are facing and whatever's facing you. He's got that power. He is able. The only way you can explain the life of Paul is Jesus Christ. The only way a sinner like me could ever hope to enter an eternal heaven with God is Jesus Christ. Any positive thing ever hoped for, any positive thing ever done, any positive thing ever accomplished, if it could be accomplished in my life, could only be Jesus, because it's certainly not me. Paul spoke of this in Colossians 1:27. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you is what brings glory. Jesus turns things around in you. How could Paul endure so much and continue to get up and testify of Jesus? In verse 13, he says, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We can go through whatever this old world throws at us if we will believe. Can you join the Lord and say you believe? Can you join Paul in saying, I'm trusting in Jesus? You never know when the storm's going to come. You never know where the storm is going to fall. We saw that through the tornadoes. You realize that that storm, had it moved just a few miles in either direction, would have caused so much greater damage. Had it moved to the north, it would have gone straight across Auburn's campus. Has it moved a little bit to the south, it would have gone straight across the major population center of Columbus. It certainly does not minimize the loss that there was, but my friend, it could have been far worse. And let me tell you, God was with the people that trusted him in Beauregard, just like God was with the people that were trusting him in Columbus, Georgia. How could Paul endure so much? He believed. You know, when you hit the snag, when you hit the problem, when you hit whatever it is, here's a weird thing. Sometimes you will go through a major, major thing, and you will stand with God, and everything's going to be good, and you're going to get through it, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And then there's going to be something that's kind of a minor thing, something that would not seem like a big deal to somebody else, and that's going to hit you like a ton of bricks. Jesus can get you through all things. I have exchanged my life with Jesus. He took my sins and died for me on the cross. No matter what the world does, I will rise. No matter what's thrown at me, there is a new day coming. There is a victory. It is just ahead in the exchanged life. And then there's the extreme grace in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. More and more people are hearing about the extreme grace that was poured out on Paul. And his desire to tell other people about Jesus magnified that grace. And it turned people to giving thanks to God, and it turned people to glorifying God's name. Grace is God's power that you cannot or will not deserve, and grace comes to you and strengthens you for what you face. I have been beside the bedside of many believers as they were coming to the end, and they have witnessed and been a witness of God's dying grace. But I have also been with those that have suffered great struggle and difficulty, and some with pain, and I've seen living grace. God has the grace for you that you need to get you through any circumstance or any situation that you may face in life. When we are faithful to stand with Jesus through the trials, through whatever life comes, God's extreme grace will be there, and it will be sufficient for that day. God's grace gives you the courage to stand in the valley of the shadow of death. God's grace does that. God's grace can and will give you the power to thank God and be thankful even in dark days and give glory to God. When God's glory is exalted, we get what we need to stand and not to faint. The real question is, when you get a problem, and it's a big problem, do you really believe in God? There are times in life that Becky and I look at each other and we say, this is the time that we decide whether we really believe what we tell people we believe. You're going to have those moments. And if you really believe, then you really know that God is capable of getting you through what you're facing. Paul had attacks on his body. And he admits that the attacks on his physical self was beginning to take its toll. I encourage you, take care of your physical self. You know, the body that you are in right now is the only body you get on this planet. And so you need to take care of it. You need to do what you can. God gives us a lot of information, and he gives you a lot of things that you can do to be more healthy. And if you can be healthy, be healthy. If you can avoid illness, avoid illness. What you can do to be better, be better. But no matter how good you are, there will be a day that your body weakens. There will be a day that you can no longer do everything that you used to do. And when those days come, you don't have to be down, because though you are weak physically, it does not mean that you are weak spiritually. And in fact, what you want to do is build up your spiritual life and your spiritual walk with God, so that when your body begins to deteriorate, your spirit uplifts. And the witness goes out. In Jesus, though the outward man is weakened, the spirit can be renewed, the Bible says, day by day. Paul had learned to live one day at a time, with each day bringing a fresh supply of grace. Now you need to understand that. Every day there's more grace. Every difficulty, there's more grace than the difficulty. Grace is the power to get through whatever you have to get through, and for whatever you face, there is that power, there is that strength. People say, well, God won't put on you more than you can stand. No, he will. There is more than you can stand. It is all more than we can stand. That's why he gives us the grace to allow us to stand. On our own, we are failures. With him, we are victors. And so we put our faith in him, and he gives us that fresh supply of grace. It will never run out. And though it is not said here, for those of us who fail the Lord, for those of us who have fallen, God gives a fresh supply of mercy. And his mercy is renewed every morning, the Bible says. And so God gives us more mercy. He gives us more grace. We can handle whatever is coming. It's not that we handle it. It's that God can handle it through us. And there's power for the day, whatever the day is. It's time that we believe, put the smile back in our heart and on our face, and stand for the Lord. Have the eternal gaze. In verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because of his eternal gaze, Paul could look at all the pain, all the persecution, all the problems in his life, and he calls them light afflictions. Paul had the very skin stripped from his body. The word, it actually means that his back was plowed. Paul said that was a light affliction. I don't know about you, but my afflictions never seem light. Other people's afflictions, they can be light. Mine might not so much. And problems seem to go on and on and on. But Paul says they last for just a moment. The difference is, when you make the affliction your focus, it is going to seem eternal, and it is going to get greater than you are. When I change my gaze and I make eternity my focus, then the time period of that affliction shrinks. When I take God's eternal gaze, I begin to understand that everything is temporary. I don't know what you're facing in this room. We have people facing all kinds of things. Cancer. We have people with cancer. Cancer is horrible. Sometimes the treatment is even worse. It is a struggle. It is a plague. It is there. Heart disease. not knowing whether your heart's going to beat the next moment or not, having things in your chest, you don't know what's going on, every twitch, everything, you just don't know, you try to get through, sometimes you can't breathe. Back and muscle pain. You can't move in any way to get away from back pain. It's just there, and it hurts, and it's hard to deal with. It hurts. If you sit down, it hurts. If you lay down, it hurts more. If you stand up, it hurts. You know, there was a time in life that if you hurt, you just moved a little different and everything was just hunky-dory. Not so much anymore. Lung disease. You know, struggling to breathe is one of the most difficult things that a person faces. Not being able to pull in or feeling like you're breathing through a great rag of something that's blocking your air and you can't get it in and you have trouble breathing out, you have trouble breathing in. And when you are in pain, yes, the pain magnifies so that it seems like it lasts forever. Have an eternal gaze. When you have an eternal gaze, you understand cancer is temporary. Heart disease, temporary. Back muscle disease, temporary. Lung disease, temporary. Any other ailment, it is temporary. Any other problem, it is temporary. If you have Jesus, it is going to pass. There is an eternal state coming where it's all going to be gone. Perhaps your torment has been caused by your own sinfulness. Jesus took that sin to Calvary. He has promised that he will never remember it anymore. He has put it away, and there is not a single sin. Listen, there may be things that still come to your mind that you have messed up in the past, but let me tell you, one step into glory, it is gone because no sin enters heaven. And so it is temporary. Put your gaze on the things that are not seen. Things that are seen are temporary. Everything is temporary. People are temporary. Got some problem person at work? They're not going to live forever. They're temporary. Or you may get fired and you don't have to work with them anymore. It's temporary. Put your gaze on the things that are not seen. Don't let something that is seen rob you of joy and rob you of peace and rob you of comfort. God's love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy should be in your gaze. Those things are all eternal. Nobody can take them away. Nobody can rob them from you. Dear believer, we need to trust in the God we say is God Almighty, and we need to allow him to handle everything we face, whether it be good, whether it be bad. It is his, it is not ours, and when we give it to him, there is victory. And that's how God wants your life to be blessed. If you know Jesus, there is hope. If you know Jesus, there is victory. If you know Jesus, there is peace. Now, how dumb is it for you as one who has faith in Jesus Christ to forego the peace and forego the comfort and forego the blessing and forego the victory that God's already given you, and to wallow in those things where there's only defeat? We need to put things in Jesus' hands. And when we stand with him in victory, you know what? We'll have a witness that will touch the lives of others. And in that, there's victory. If you don't know Jesus, there's no victory for you. If you know Jesus, the good news is there's still time. And today is a day that you can come to know Jesus. You can invite him to be your Savior. And in inviting him to be your Savior, you find eternal victory. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We pray, Father, that you would move in us, that you would use your word in us, Father, that we would take your word as believers, and Father, we would take all these struggles that we have been putting before ourselves, and we would give them to you, and we would walk in victory, and we would walk in your peace and comfort. Father, that we would have a gaze on those things that are eternal and not allow those things that are temporal to weigh us down and to ruin our days. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, Father, that today would be the day that they would give things to you, put things in your hands, and Father, that they would be eternally saved. Move in us. Give us your victory. It's only found in Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.